Fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the April 18th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Kenyan athletes Evans Chebet and Helen Obiri, who won the men's and women's titles Monday at the Boston Marathon. Ladies first, the 33-year-old Obiri, a two-time world champion and two-time Olympic silver medalist at 5,000 meters, won her first marathon in 2 hours, 21 minutes, and 38 seconds. And Chebet successfully defended his Boston Marathon men's title in 2 hours, 5 minutes, and 54 seconds.
Today I'm happy because last year I ran, last year is no train, but this year a lot of rain. So I'm happy because I know this course very well because I'm happy because I win last year and this year. So maybe next year I'll come back again.
A happy Evans Chebet, who retained his title at the Boston Marathon. The Tanzanian Gabriel Gie finished in second place in a time of 2 hours, 6 minutes, and 4 seconds. And Chebet's training partner, 2021 Boston champion Benson Kipruto, took the third spot in 2 hours, 6 minutes, and 6 seconds. Chebet says Kipruto's support certainly factored into him winning Boston again.
You know, coach and manager, you told me go Boston with Benson because I'll train with Benson. I'll stay in camp. So I know training is good. So I told Benson in like in 31. I told Benson, let go. So I'm happy because I see my friend Benson. So I'm happy because I'm morale.
Meanwhile, the world record holder and pre-race favorite, 38-year-old Eliud Kipchoge, finished in sixth place in his Boston Marathon debut. He was 3 minutes and 29 seconds behind fellow Kenyan Evans Chebet. Kipchoge, widely regarded as the greatest marathon runner of all time, suffered only his third defeat in 18 career marathons. Writing on social media after the race, Kipchoge said, and I quote, "It's never guaranteed. It's never easy. Today was a tough day for me." This was the third consecutive Kenyan sweep of the men's and women's titles in Boston. Both Evans Chebet and Helen Obiri received first-place prizes of $150,000 each.
Hello, everybody. My name is Grant Holloway, Olympian, world record holder, and double world champion in the 110-meter hurdles. And you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Still with athletics, the South African Herta Steyn won her fourth consecutive Two Oceans Marathon title over the weekend in Cape Town. In the process, Steyn smashed her own course record by 36 seconds. She covered the 56-kilometer course in 3 hours, 29 minutes, and 6 seconds. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports feature presentation, Darren Taylor tells us more about the South African athlete.
1989 course record, Herta Steyn, the first athlete in history, female athlete to break 3 hours and...
In 2019, at the age of 29, Steyn became the first woman ever to clock less than 6 hours in the Comrades Marathon Uprun in the South African province of KwaZulu-Natal. Some of the world's best ultra-marathon athletes compete in the race that's run between the cities of Durban and Pietermaritzburg, a distance of almost 80 kilometers, almost 50 miles. Less than 2 years later, she became South African marathon record holder with a time of 2 hours, 25 minutes and 28 seconds recorded at the Tuscany Elite Marathon in Italy. In so doing, Steyn smashed a record that had stood for more than a quarter century by more than a minute.
It's been such a great journey that I've been on. I sometimes still wake up and think, I don't know how on earth this happened. But yes, it's been amazing.
Amazing is the right word when considering Steyn first pulled on a pair of running shoes in 2014 at the age of 24. She was working as a quantity surveyor in Dubai and wanted to keep fit.
I joined a running club and I thought I'll make friends there. It looks good fun. I started training with them and soon after that they said, well, you need to come and join us for a marathon. Yeah, it sounded all right. I thought a little bit far for me, but anyway, I liked this guy.
Steyn remembers standing on the start line, confused.
And I said to the guys, like, who do I run with? How quick do I go? I don't even have a proper running watch or anything. They said, though, just go on feel and try and stick with the group and then go quicker if you can. But I ended up beating all my friends. That's how...
In the months that followed, she excelled and ended up quitting her job.
To start with, it was a very big decision for me. It was a big risk to take. Everything was almost settled and I was happy with my job and everything. But I thought to myself, I'm very young. And I'm not looking at it as leaving my job to become a professional athlete or changing jobs to professional athlete. I was more looking at it as I'm taking a chance.
Steyn returned to South Africa. There she demonstrated such talent that she was competing in the Tough Comrades Marathon less than a year later. She finished 56th.
The real change came really in my mind because for the first time I actually thought of myself as someone who can actually compete and compete with the best. And after that Comrades Marathon in 2015, everything else was second. And running for me, it started taking over everything.
The next year, 2016, she placed 14th and the athletics world started noticing her. In 2017, she was fourth. Steyn didn't run the 2018 Comrades because of injury. She did, however, compete in the Two Oceans, a race across Cape Town, and she won. Shortly after her victory, she received an invitation via email to take part in the New York Marathon.
So, of course, I was on such a high after the win. To start with, I thought it is a joke or it is like wrong. This must be spam or something. But it turned out to be for real. And I was so humbled by this and so overly excited.
In her first appearance in New York, she finished a creditable 13th. Steyn surprised herself by beating quite a few East African runners, the traditional favourites in marathons. The next year, she finished 11th. This year, she thinks she's capable of a top 5 placing. In 2019, Steyn won the Comrades to complete a remarkable and rapid rise to the top. She competed in the women's marathon at the 2020 Tokyo Summer Olympics, ending 15th out of 88 runners. Two of her major targets this year are improving her previous showings at the London and New York marathons. Steyn was 7th in London in 2020. This year, she wants to be on the podium. I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Season 3 of the Basketball Africa League is here. Coming up on April 26th, Nile Conference action tips off in Cairo, Egypt. Local favorite Al Ahly of Egypt will host Ferroviario de Beira of Mozambique in the opening Nile Conference game. We'll be broadcasting that game and other Nile Conference encounters right here on The Voice of America. The Voice of America will once again be flexing its multilingual broadcasting muscles. We've been broadcasting the BAL games on radio in English, French, Bambara, Portuguese, and Kenya, Rwanda. Multilingual broadcasting muscles. Yes, the Voice of America has them. And we urge you to tune in when Nile Conference action begins on April 26th in Cairo, Egypt. The Basketball Africa League, right here on the Voice of America. The Basketball Africa League is a partnership between the International Basketball Federation, FIBA, and the National Basketball Association, the NBA. In NBA action Monday night, the Philadelphia 76ers and the Sacramento Kings both won at home to take 2-0 leads in their first-round playoff series. Let's tip off in Philadelphia, where the AP's Michael Luongo filed this post-game report.
Tobias Harris hit a third-quarter run that enabled the 76ers to hold home court in a 96-84 win over the Nets in Game 2 of this NBA first-round playoff series. Harris scored 9 points in a 20-5 run that gave Philadelphia the lead for good. Harris scored 13 of his 20 points in the second half.
Those are the type of spurts in playoff basketball that you have to embrace, and you have to, like, over-excel with the energy, and I think when we made that type of run, that was huge for us.
Tyrese Maxey had 33 for the Sixers, who lead this best-of-seven series 2-0. Cameron Johnson had 28 for the Nets. Michael Luongo, Philadelphia.
Thanks, Michael. Cameroonian star Joel Embiid scored 20 points, grabbed 19 rebounds, and had 7 assists Monday night in another excellent all-around performance for Philadelphia. Joel Embiid is the NBA's 2-time scoring champion, and he's a strong contender for his first Most Valuable Player award. As this playoff series now moves to Brooklyn for Game 3 on Thursday night, Embiid says he hopes Philadelphia can keep up its winning playing style.
You just try to play the right way, keep moving the ball. If they keep using the same strategies that they've been using, you take advantage of it and you keep trusting. We keep trusting each other, but nothing changes defensively.
Now let's go to Sacramento, California, where the Sacramento Kings took a 2-0 lead over the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors. The AP's Mark Myers reports.
The Kings have the defending NBA champions on their heels by beating the Warriors in Game 2, 114-106, to go up 2-0. But Sacramento coach Mike Brown says it's no time to relax.
Like a wounded animal. That wound is just getting bigger and bigger, and when that happens, we know and they know they're going to have to crank it up a notch and fight even harder.
De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis each scored 24 points. Stephen Curry led the Warriors with 28, but shot just 3 of 13 from 3. I am Mark Myers.
Thanks, Mark. Memphis Grizzlies big man Jaren Jackson Jr. has been named the NBA's Defensive Player of the Year. Jackson led the NBA with 3 blocks per game this season. He's the second player in Memphis history to win the award, following the Spaniard Marc Gasol, who won the award in 2013. Jaren Jackson Jr. and the Grizzlies will be back on the court Wednesday night when they host LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers in Game 2 of their first-round playoff series. The Lakers beat the Grizzlies in Game 1, 128-112, on Sunday in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
On the next Straight Talk Africa. Heavy fighting erupts in the Sudanese capital as rival generals battle for control of the country. What issues are at the heart of the conflict? Is Sudan headed for all-out civil war? Join me, Heidi Adams, on the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Five African teams, Angola, Egypt, Ivory Coast, South Sudan, and Cape Verde, will compete at this year's FIBA Basketball World Cup. The international tournament will feature a total of 32 teams, and it will be held from August 25th to September 10th in three Asian countries, Japan, Indonesia, and the Philippines. Of the five African teams, two are making their Basketball World Cup debuts, the Bright Stars of South Sudan and the Blue Sharks of Cape Verde. Joining us now from the U.S. city of Providence, Rhode Island, is the veteran guard for Cape Verde, Jeff Xavier. Jeff, welcome to the sunny side of sports.
I really appreciate you having me.
Jeff, on April 29th, the FIBA Basketball World Cup draw will be held in the Philippines. What's your reaction to this historic qualification by Cape Verde?
Well, when it first happened, I honestly couldn't stop crying, to be honest. My emotions completely took over. It was like a feeling I definitely couldn't explain. It's impossible to really explain unless if you're actually going through it. So it's like, you know, it's, for me, it's definitely one of the biggest basketball accomplishment of my career. So I'm glad to be a part of this history of Cape Verde.
Cape Verdean basketball fans, Jeff, I'm guessing they might have sent you a few social media messages.
Oh man, I've never had as many messages in my life. It actually took me like about 3 or 4 days consecutively to respond to everyone. It was overwhelming. But I was just on a high for so many days that it was just like a great feeling to respond to all these fans and to understand how big this is for Cape Verde.
Jeff, talk about your history with Cape Verde's national basketball team.
Well, I've been playing since the pre-qualifications of the Olympics in summer of 2007. That was the same year when they made it. They were silver in Apple Basket in 2007. So that was my first year playing. It's been 16 years, and finally we go to the World Cup. And so it's a great way to go out.
Jeff, I understand Cape Verde's head coach recruited you to come back for this World Cup qualifying campaign.
Yes, correct. There are actually a few players also that kept writing me because they really wanted me to be there for the, to get them to the World Cup. And, you know, I said no a lot of times because I felt like I was really done with basketball, but I had to just go just to try and get us to the World Cup, and we did, and that was a great decision on my behalf.
The World Cup will be held in three Asian countries, Japan, Indonesia, and the Philippines. Have you ever played in any of those countries?
No, never. So this is like really big for me. I'm really excited about it.
Jeff, you have extensive European playing experience. Do you think that will help you when you get on the court for your first FIBA Basketball World Cup?
Oh, yeah, for sure, 100%. I've been playing in Europe for 13 years, and I know their game. It's really about skill. It's about 5-on-5, playing 40 minutes. It's completely different from African basketball. African basketball, it's more, athletic, running up and down. Here, it's just about, a lot of skill and a lot of patience and a lot of teamwork. So, and great coaching. So it's a bit different. But yeah, for sure, playing 13 years in Europe, for sure, is going to help me in this tournament.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with Jeff Xavier, veteran guard for Cape Verde's national basketball team, which has qualified for its first FIBA Basketball World Cup. Jeff, looking back on the African qualifying competition, was it difficult?
It was brutal, actually. It was one game, honestly, felt like three games in one. You really had to go in there with absolute mental toughness, physical toughness, and you just had to really, really play from the second one. If you missed out on playing at least 2 or 3 minutes, if you took a few plays off, you will lose that game. It doesn't matter who you play against. And that was the mentality that we tried to go into every game. So for me, I really, especially after the one game of that African qualifying, it was very hard for me and my body and to recover after each game. So, oh man, it was very difficult.
At 37, you're one of the older players on Cape Verde. Do you think you might need more rest during the FIBA Basketball World Cup?
No, I think I'll be completely fine. Well, this part, the reason also is because I didn't have much, personally, I didn't have much time to prepare. I only had 2 weeks. I basically had 2 weeks to prepare my body and haven't played in like 7 months. So it was tough for me to, you know, bounce back like that. But for sure, I have a lot of time to prepare, and I've been preparing my body ever since I got home, honestly, on February 28th. I've been preparing my body, and I'll definitely 100% be ready, especially for the training this summer that's going to happen in Cape Verde and a couple other countries. So it's going to be completely different for myself.
Jeff, do you get back to Cape Verde very often?
Yeah, I was actually in Cape Verde a few months ago. Actually, yeah, a couple months ago with my family, with my wife and my daughter. We went for 2 weeks so I can train there before the qualifying tournament. But I've been there about 4 or 5 times, and I'll go back this summer for training also.
The four other African teams that will compete at the FIBA Basketball World Cup are Angola, Egypt, Ivory Coast, and South Sudan. Jeff, how do you rate the South Sudanese?
I honestly think they're, besides us, I believe they're probably the best team in Africa right now. I love the way they play. They're well coached. They're long, they have skill, athletic, they have a complete team. I think South Sudan is probably the best team in Africa as we speak.
And what about Ivory Coast? You played them in the qualifying competition.
So, yes, Ivory Coast, I love Ivory Coast. Well, their coach, he's from Spain. He actually coached me. He was my head coach my last year in Spain. So I know for sure that they're well coached, the guy, and he's one of the best coaches in Spain. So they're very well because most importantly they have a great coach. So as far as talent, they're talented. But for me, I think South Sudan definitely has more talent and more skill on their team. But I think Ivory Coast is the best coach team in Africa for sure.
Jeff, you're talking with me now from the U.S. state of Rhode Island, which I understand has a very high concentration of Portuguese and Cape Verdeans.
It's full of them over here, Portuguese and Cape Verdeans. This is basically in Rhode Island and Massachusetts. That's the two states with the most Portuguese and Cape Verdeans. So all of our athletes, all the basketball players from Cape Verde, if they outside of Cape Verde, is usually in Rhode Island, Massachusetts. I don't think I've ever had a teammate outside of Rhode Island, Massachusetts.
That's Jeff Xavier of Cape Verde's national men's basketball team. Jeff and the Blue Sharks of Cape Verde will be competing at this year's FIBA Basketball World Cup, which tips off in August. And Jeff spoke with me by telephone from the U.S. city of Providence, Rhode Island.
This is Colonel Sam Amedu, retired President FIBA Africa Zone 3. You are once more listening to Sunnyside of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you very much and have a good day.
Nigeria 30 by 30 is a new fitness program aimed at making Nigerians exercise 30 minutes a day for 30 days. The program is organized by Nigeria's Ministry of Sports and the African Fitness and Bodybuilding Federation. For more details, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with Federation Vice President Soye Alekema.
Now, Nigeria 30 by 30. Getting Nigerians out to take charge of exercise for 30 minutes for 30 days, because It's been confirmed by studies that 30 minutes of a program in a week, it helps to reduce osteoporosis and also help to balance your blood sugar level. So if you do it for 30 days, that simply means it's a therapy that will go beyond all normal circumstances to give you the necessary healthy lifestyle you need.
How did this Nigeria 30 by 30 program begin? What's the origin?
Now, following the abnormation by WHO and the researches that was carried by leading teaching hospitals in Nigeria, that 90% of the people who die of sudden and unexpected death is as a result of heart challenges. And these challenges are beyond the use of drugs and vaccines. The cure lies, as I said, beyond the use of drugs and vaccines. The only panacea that exists is fitness. On that note, the need for Nigeria to take proactive steps in achieving a healthy lifestyle cannot be overemphasized. So looking at the whole parameter, quite a lot of people have been doing fitness today. There is a dramatic increase in the popularity of fitness, which we want to attribute that to the establishment of the Amateur Bodybuilding and Fitness Federation, because they've been doing quite a lot in terms of creating awareness. But it's not enough for Nigerians to get this as a culture. And that's one of the major reasons why we've decided to meet with the Ministry of Information and Culture to see how Nigerians will take this as a lifestyle, acculturization, people seeing this as a way of life. And it's quite fortunate, and we are very happy to see that the Federal Ministry of Sports really embraced this idea, and they are going to be fully part of it. When I mean they are going to be fully part of it, they've done their recommendations, they are part of it. They've also mandated people that is going to come out in mass to see how we're going to get or achieve this program. So we expect all Nigerians to be part of it. We expect even the IG has also made a statement towards it that, yes, the police are also ready to be part of this event. And we see that it's an event that will really, really help Nigerians, because when we carry out the necessary analysis, you will find out that there is quite a lot of people. Nigeria cannot ascertain the number of persons that are going through the challenges of diabetes, hypertension, arthritis, and some of these heart-related problems. The only way we'll be able to manage this issue and cut down the health budget that Nigeria has been going through is for us to introduce the Nigeria 30 by 30, people finding out what they feel is good for them to do every 30 minutes for 30 days.
With the 30 by 30 project you have at hand, have you been able to reach out to Nigerians or to some Nigerians? And what has been the response like since you started this project?
Well, the response has been very, very, very interesting because Nigerians have been looking for a way on how to be able to showcase themselves in terms of getting themselves prepared, especially following the fact that quite a lot of people don't really get the actual regimen in terms of giving the necessary programs as regards to physiological movement. But now it's going to give Nigerians more opportunity for Nigerians to be educated. Quite a lot of people are interested. A lot of companies have also shown it. It's going to give us the opportunity for a lot of exhibitions of the most up-to-date supplements and quite equipment. Educations will be right there. We expect the IFBB Academy to also come here to run a certification program for Nigerians to be more aware on what it takes for you to be fit and what it takes for you to run a business, any business that has to do with fitness. But the most important thing is, how will this reduce the health budget in Nigeria? That is one of the key things and most important thing we are looking at. But nevertheless, Nigerians are highly interested to participate in this event.
That's Soye Alekema, the vice president of the African Fitness and Bodybuilding Federation. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Hi, Sporty. Greetings. This is Soye Alekema, president of the Amateur Bodybuilder and Fitness Federation of Nigeria, vice president, African Bodybuilder and Fitness Federation, two-time winner of the best fitness administrator in Africa, the one whose body has turned to gold. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Don't stop listening to Sunny Sides.
And that wraps up the April 18th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.